Second scripture this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Now, the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up to heaven. At that very moment, three men, sent to me from Caesarea, arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who was called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that God gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. If you know anything about Jewish food, you know the bagels are delicious. You probably also know that there is a division between foods that are considered kosher, which can be eaten as according to the dietary laws in the book of Leviticus, and the foods that are considered not kosher, and therefore unclean. Unclean animals that are not kosher to eat include pigs, but also frogs and snails and eel and shrimp and squid and alligator. To answer questions you have probably not thought to ask, other unclean animals include zebras, penguins, cats, and of course, raccoons, obviously, because raccoons are disgusting and also mean. Oh, and wolverines! Fun fact! Wolverines are unclean under kosher laws. These seem like rather arbitrary animals, especially since there is surely no way that any Jew in the ancient world would have known about wolverines. But wolverines do not have cloven hoofs, and they also do not chew their cud, which are the requirements for a land animal to be considered clean and kosher. We don't know exactly why the delineation between clean and unclean animals was so important. One theory says that eating non-kosher meats is somewhat more likely to end with food poisoning. Maybe the practice of careful and intentional eating made people more appreciative of the food they had and conscious of where it had come from. We don't know. Some things just don't get written down. Regardless of why some animals were originally considered unclean, though, in Peter's vision, he is told that the separation of clean and unclean animals is no longer important. Last week's story ended with Peter staying in the home of Simon the Tanner, which is significant because tanners would have been considered unclean. In between last week's story about the resurrection of the disciple Tabitha and this week's story of Peter's vision of penguins and wolverines, though, Peter says something very important. I think it might be one of the most important things that Peter ever says. He says, "You know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. I should not call anyone profane or unclean." God has shown us that we should not take it upon ourselves to declare people unholy or dirty or otherwise not good enough. Gentiles came to Peter. He did not seek them out. They came to him. The voice of the Holy Spirit had spoken to them before Peter arrived, and her voice stirred up a longing for God in the hearts of centurions and uncircumcised men and people considered unclean and all manner of other Gentiles. We do not have an exclusive contract with God. It is not up to us to bring God to any exotic place or to bring God to anyone. God is everywhere. God made everywhere. There is no place where God is not. God has shown us that we should not call anyone unclean. What God has made clean, we have no right to call otherwise. Now you might be sitting there thinking, okay, cool, but I mean, I probably wasn't going to go eat a Wolverine burger or Kentucky Fried Penguin wings after church, whether they were considered clean under kosher law or not. Well, obviously you should at least refrain from eating a big unclean meal today because you'll be filling up on pancakes. But the point still stands. Why should this matter? We don't have a system of dietary laws in the Presbyterian tradition. We don't have a formalized caste system that scorns tanners or gravediggers or sanitation workers. But there are still plenty of people whom we would consider unclean. We like to think of ourselves as a welcoming congregation, and most of the time I'd say we are. But what would we do if we were joined one Sunday morning by a recently released felon, or a homeless person, or someone who loudly and suddenly started speaking in tongues in the middle of a prayer, or a gang member, or someone who couldn't speak any English, or someone covered in blood and bruises, or someone with a swastika tattoo? Wouldn't at least some of these people make us uncomfortable? Maybe it isn't a question of them being ritually unclean under kosher law, but throughout the centuries, the church has looked askance at rather a lot of people and labeled them as spiritually impure or otherwise unworthy to enter a church, to receive sacraments, to be allowed leadership positions, or even to be buried in consecrated ground. There are people whom I would hesitate to welcome. People who don't believe that I should have been ordained. People who strongly oppose marriage equality. People who refuse to ever apologize. People who would ever condemn anyone to hell. And I think that I have good reason to want to hold people like that accountable to justice and accountable to the gospel. But there is a danger in drawing lines between us and them, between the holy and the impure, between the sinners and the saints, between the Christians and the people who just call themselves Christians, between the good people and the not good enough people, between the people we want in the pews beside us and the people we don't. Because we do not have an exclusive contract with God. God has shown us that we should not call anyone unclean. What God has made clean, we have no right to call otherwise.